You're listening to the Refined Hippie Podcast. It's me, your host, Rebecca Henson, and welcome back, my friends. It's so good to have you here. I really appreciate it. How was your weekend? Was it good? Was it relaxing? Was it what you wanted? How is the end of your summer going? I cannot believe it is about to be the end of summer. Labor Day is happening this coming weekend, and feels like it just flew by. But that happens every year, right? It's like, I don't know. Life in general just starts flying by quicker and quicker. Every year, the older I get, things just move by faster. I feel like older people always told you that when you were a kid. And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, because when you're younger, everything is so slow, it feels like. But then you become an adult and you're like, holy crap, they were right. Oh my gosh. I feel like my life is flashing before my eyes. But yeah, my summer was great. I felt like a different kind of summer. I normally go out on the water a lot. I live on the coast. And my husband and I do a lot of surfing and stand-up paddleboard surfing. But this year, there just weren't as many good waves, and I just didn't get to the beach as much. So I feel kind of sad about that. But just because summer is over doesn't mean that warm weather is over, because I'm in the South. Let's be real. It doesn't get cold here until, like, I don't know, December, January. I mean, there are actually some New Year's of the past that we were out surfing. I mean, I had a wetsuit on, but it was still really warm. Like, the sun was out and the water wasn't too bad. So it's not all over. All the fun's not over yet. But I do not like winter. I'm a summer baby. So I love the heat. I love the warmth. I love the sun. I love being tan. And so that's my story. Last week, my mom was in town visiting for a couple of nights, and we had such a blast being with her and ate a lot of delicious food and tried a lot of different things. We had went to one of my favorite restaurants here in town called Basic Kitchen, and the dessert that we had was plant-based, gluten-free banana pudding. Holy guacamole. It was amazing. The top had a meringue on it, but the meringue was made from aquafaba. Do you know what aquafaba is? I had actually tried to make aquafaba meringue like a year or two ago, but it fell pretty flat. Aquafaba is the liquid from chickpeas. So when you get a can of chickpeas and you drain them, that liquid that you drain out is aquafaba. So you can literally take that liquid and whip it in a mixer, and it will become this fluffy meringue-like texture that you can use wherever you would use meringue. It's really crazy. And I was thinking about it. Like, who was this person that discovered this? It actually was discovered only, like, I don't know, 5 or 7, maybe 10 years at the most. But who was the first person who looked at this liquid from their chickpeas and was like, I wonder what I could do with that, you know? Like, because there has to be somebody. Who was the first person? She's like, I don't know, avocado toast. Who was the first person to say, I'm going to put avocado on my bread? Let's see what that tastes like. I want to know the story about that. But back to the aquafaba meringue. So the reason why mine didn't work is because I didn't use a fluffy, light sugar. And I think you need to use like a powdered sugar or whatnot. And when I was trying to make it, I was like, I'll use whatever sugar I can find. Even though the recipe that I had found online, I'm pretty sure it said powdered sugar. But I used coconut sugar instead, which, if you are familiar with coconut sugar, is pretty dense. Not the best for this particular recipe. However, I do use coconut sugar everywhere else in my baking. It is absolutely phenomenal. It's the best sugar to use in baking. I would never use refined sugar. I do not suggest using refined sugar. It is completely void of nutrients. Oftentimes people say that it's empty calories. That's literally what it is. It has no nutritional benefit whatsoever. However, Coconut sugar has tons of nutritional value. It's also extremely low on the glycemic index if you are concerned about insulin or glucose, your blood sugar and whatnot. But it is, like I said, full of vitamins and minerals. It has tons of iron, zinc, calcium, potassium. It has short chain fatty acids like polyphenols and tons of antioxidants. So it's a really great sugar to use in your baking. You know, you can still have sweet treats and not feel guilty about them and actually feel like maybe it's doing something good for you, you know? Yeah, so coconut sugar is the way to go. I usually use coconut sugar or maple syrup in my baking. I will also sometimes use dates depending on what I'm making, what the dish is. And dates also have lots of nutritional benefits, lots of vitamins and minerals. They actually have been shown to reduce blood pressure, and they're also good for balancing our blood sugar levels. So they have a lot of benefits. They have tons of antioxidants, different B vitamins that are extremely essential in our brain and contribute to better memory and learning. Dates are also helpful in strengthening bones because of the minerals that are found in them, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, and magnesium, which are good for our bones. So there's that. So everyone should eat more dates and coconut sugar, and don't be afraid of these type of sweeteners. There's a time and a place, but I would strongly suggest steering away from refined sugar. Refined sugar has no benefits. Molasses is another good sweetener that is actually the byproduct of the sugarcane refining process. So they literally take out all the good stuff and make the white sugar, and the leftover is molasses, which has tons of vitamins and minerals, iron, and it's a really good diabetic-friendly sweetener, bone booster. It's really great. So I wanted to talk about something else that I'm really passionate about. Obviously, I talk a lot on this podcast about the health benefits of being plant-based, and I'm certainly very passionate about it, but I think seeing the need and the many benefits of going plant-based vegan and how it can be beneficial in other ways is helpful in making this a true lifestyle change that you stick with forever. You feel such a sense of accomplishment, like you're really making a difference in the world. I know that might sound dramatic to some of you, but it does. And it makes this lifestyle that much more of a no-brainer. We really need to have a passion for this planet, and to say you truly love something means you show that love by being kind and thoughtful about it, right? So the sense of pride that I have for being a plant-based vegan is knowing about the environmental impacts of animal agriculture and knowing that I am not contributing to that. And then also spreading the awareness to others, for sure, of the impact of the pollution from animal agriculture. But then, so the main reason at this point is going to be the moral aspect of eating plant-based diet. So when you learn about the animal agriculture business, I don't think you have to be some crazy animal lover to know that it's wrong. And that's why I say, you know, really studying and watching documentaries and learning about what that process looks like. Where when you see this neatly little packaged, you know, thing of flesh at the supermarket, most people don't give a second thought of how it got there. But if you backtrack and look at the process of it and learn what the process was, you're not going to like what you see. If you go to the grocery store and pick up broccoli and you backtrack and see what the process of how that broccoli got there, I don't think you're going to be appalled by it. It's not going to make you cringe. It's not going to make you want to cry. And then you feel good about it. So if there's something in our lives that brings us discomfort, but we stick our heads in the sand and say, oh, I don't want to know about that. It doesn't make it go away. It doesn't make it not happen. And it doesn't make you a better person for saying you don't want to know. The fact that you do know, you're saying that you don't, a person who does that says they don't want to see it because they don't want to know about it. But you do know about it. You know enough. You know enough that you don't want to see it. That's enough right there to say this is not what aligns with your soul. It's not what aligns with any of our souls. You know, a common thing that I've read and I've seen and different activists have said is, you know, put a baby, a human baby, in a basket with a bunny and an apple and see what the baby does. What is going to come naturally to that baby? To cuddle and squeeze and hug that bunny. It is not going to want to try to eat it. That is because we are not natural carnivores. If you put a lion in the basket with a bunny and an apple, it's going to eat the bunny. It's going to eat the bunny. That's because that is a natural carnivore. If you put any type of, if you put a bear in there, a fox, whatever, it's going to eat, it's going to try to eat the bunny rabbit. But the human is not, because naturally that is not what we are meant to eat. We are not meant to eat meat. Yes, we can when it's cooked, but if it's not cooked, what happens? We get sick because we don't have the correct acid in our stomach to kill the bacteria that would be in that meat. So like cats and stuff, they can eat rotting flesh. They don't get sick because they have such a high acid content in their stomachs that will kill the E. coli or whatever kind of bacteria is on that meat. But we can't. We would get severely sick and may even die. So if that's not enough for you right there to show that we should not be eating the flesh of other animals, then I don't know what is, you know? But so back to that. Yeah, I mean, for me, I can't unsee what I've learned, but I think that learning it and knowing about it solidifies this decision more than ever. It's a trifecta of reasons to go plant-based. It is your health. Your health will benefit immensely. The planet. Let's clean it up. It's horrible. It's in a horrible mess, right? And the animals. We care. We are compassionate. We do care about other creatures. And we don't want to see them hurt. So there's a bunch of documentaries that I think everybody should watch. Cowspiracy was the first one that I ever watched. Prior to that, I was really under this notion and I guess conditioned mentality that these animals were here for us. These specific species were here for us. And now, you know, knowing about all the other cultures that eat different animals, I see that with a new lens for sure. So Cowspiracy was one of the first ones. Food Inc. is a really good one. Food Choices, Vegucated, What the Health, which that's not as much about the animal agriculture. I mean, it does go into animal agriculture, but not as much as maybe Cowspiracy. And then the most intense one that anybody can ever watch, which is not for the weak-hearted. It's not for any type of hearts, really, because I bawled my eyes out. So if that makes you want to see it more, probably doesn't. But it's called Earthlings, and it's available on YouTube for free. It goes over all different industries and opens up the door of what happens in any animal exploitation business. So that means leather, that means food, that means fur, which, gosh sakes, I mean, seriously, people. but it's a really good eye-opening film. I mean, I say that it's so scary and will possibly make you cry, but in a good way. Like I've said, I think that just having this knowledge and knowing the truth is enlightening. I mean, if we want to talk about being enlightened, I think this is for sure the way to go, is to know the truth and know what's actually happening behind these closed doors and, you know, opening up the veil. What is happening in these industries that they are trying to hide from us because they know people are not going to like it? You know, that's why they have all these different ag gag laws that they're trying to put in place. Literally, they want to gag people's voices so they can't speak or share this information. So they have all these different legislation that they're trying to pass, which will make it illegal and a felony to video or film at an animal operation, slaughterhouses or the factory farms and whatnot, because the photos that would be taken and shown are despicable. They would make people very upset, and then these industries would have to change their ways. And they don't want to have to do that because, let's be real, it's all about the bottom line. They don't care about the treatment of these animals. They care when people find out and people are upset, and then they say, oh, well, we'll change, we'll do this and we'll do that. These are huge, mammoth, colossal corporations that have so much money and so much influence. They pay and lobby millions and millions of dollars every year, filling the pockets of politicians to get things passed in their favor. You know, 99% of people who are plant-based vegans or vegans didn't start out this way. Unless your parents were vegetarian or vegan and you knew from the beginning when you were a small child that eating animals was wrong because your parents actually told you what happened or what you were eating and explained it to you in a way that made sense, then you were just like conditioned like the rest of us, because these are cultural norms. So all societies have cultural norms, ways they eat, traditions. Doesn't matter whether you're in China, whether you're in South Carolina, whether you're in Alaska, everybody has their cultural things that they do, things that they eat, ways they dress. I mean, I could just keep going and going and going. But there are some countries who do things that we wouldn't agree with, right? You know, in some countries, women are seen as inferior to men. In some countries, genital mutilation is performed. That is common practice. Those are cultural norms to those societies. But do we consider them to be moral? Just because something is cultural, does that mean it is just and right? In many countries, they eat cat, dog, dolphin, whale. So who are we over here in America to point our fingers when we slaughter millions upon millions, billions of cows, pigs, chickens, sheep every year? It is just our cultural norm that we see those particular animals as ones to slaughter, while cats and dogs here are seen as companions and dolphins are seen as these majestic ocean beings. If you go onto Instagram or YouTube or any of these, you can find tons of accounts of individuals or sanctuaries who have cows, pigs, chickens, sheep, goats as their companion animals. You know, when you watch these videos, you can really see their personalities and their cute little disposition that's so similar to cats and dogs. For me, watching those videos really puts it in perspective for me that we are all the same. We all get excited. We all show joy. You know, if you watch those little goats and cows leaping in the air, like in their pastures, like just so darn happy, they obviously can feel joy. So if they can feel joy, then obviously they can feel pain. So that's pretty much it. You know, when I was trying to heal my body, I was willing to do and try any type of diet, whether it was paleo or whatever, specific carbohydrate diet. There is the, what is it? Food maps. There's all different types, right? And I was willing to try them if that meant that it would heal me. Although I was conflicted because at that beginning of my healing journey, I had seen Cowspiracy and I had started analyzing you know, and really reflecting on where my food came from, which I had never done before, really. I was still kind of under this impression that, I was still under that impression, I guess, that certain animals were here for us and out of sight, out of mind. You know, I had not seen the videos. I had not thought about it. No, I didn't know anyone who was this way growing up. I grew up in a pretty small town and I just didn't have any exposure to this type of lifestyle, you know, but I can say with the utmost conviction that it was the best thing I've ever done in my entire life. And I think a lot of people who feel this way, you know, they'll often say, I just wish I had done it sooner. Like I do, but I can't beat myself up about that because I didn't know any different. And this is why when I'm talking to other people about this lifestyle and whatnot, I'm not going to judge them for it because I was at that place as well. You know, like I said, most people who are vegan, 99% of them were not born this way. They didn't grow up this way. I too used to like chicken nuggets. They were like my favorite thing ever. But I also only liked things that didn't remind me of the fact that it had been a full-blown animal. I hated chicken wings. They freaked me out. I picked through all my food because deep down, clearly, my soul was like, what the heck is this? You know? But so what do you eat, right? That's a common thing that I get. It's a question that has been happening for the last 3 years. Well, what do you eat? You don't eat meat? I totally get it. But let's look at this, y'all. Meat. Let's see. What do we normally eat? It's chicken, fish, beef, pig. So maybe like 4 to 5 different types of flesh. That's pretty limiting, you know? There are over 20,000 edible plants, 20,000, which all have different vitamin, minerals, antioxidants, nutritional profiles, flavors. It's just like a whole new world. But I do understand that when you've been cooking a certain way, it is overwhelming to think that you have to change that or you want to change that. Let's say you do. But heck, y'all, we have the internet. It's the greatest thing ever. And of course, if you need some cooking advice or whatnot, you can email me. I will be glad to help you figure out how to make modifications or changes, because that's really the thing. I don't feel at all restricted. If anything, I feel like my food world and culinary world has just opened up into this whole magical new universe. There's like new flavor profiles. There's new things to cook with. Heck, I cook with kudzu. What the heck is that? And I just talked about aquafaba earlier. Like, what? Like, so many new things to try. It's like, I feel like a mad scientist in like the best way possible. It's a lot of fun. So that's pretty much my story. You know, I kind of had been tiptoeing around whether I even wanted to do a podcast about this, but I have to be true to myself. And this is my truth. My truth is that I love my lifestyle. I love it. It does make me feel good. I love when I see little animal videos, and I am very passionate about speaking up about it because I see this industry and what's happening to the animals as they're being bullied, right? And if anybody is being bullied, don't you want someone to speak up? Let's say you're at school and there's one kid that's being picked on. Nobody says a word. Nobody says anything. They have a bully. Everybody's watching. Some of the kids might be laughing. Some of them are very uncomfortable because they want to speak up, but they don't. Don't you want someone to speak up for you? If you're the child being bullied, which I was bullied in high school. I was bullied. Yeah. In 11th grade. Nobody really spoke up for me. Although I would speak up for other people when they got bullied, but nobody would do it for me. I'm going to speak up. And I don't care if people shun me. I'm just that type of person. Like I can't sit back and watch something bad happen and not say something. I literally cannot contain myself. I mean, I'm have a nickname called Mighty Mouse, and I am. Like, in college, I'm pretty sure I intervened in some fights that I shouldn't have between boys. Because I feel a lot bigger than I don't think about that. It's not, the point is that something, there's an injustice happening and there's a wrong that's happening, and I'm going to do something. I'm going to say something. I'm going to at least try, because that's all we can do is try our best. And if we sit back and we're apathetic, well, then nothing is going to get done, right? Now, does that mean that, you know, being vegan, you're a superhero and you're never going to get sick? No, of course not. We're all human. But at the end of the day, the chances of getting heart disease, different types of cancer, colorectal cancer, breast cancer, those kind of things, diabetes, will be cut down 70 to 90%. Just look at the Blue Zones or the China study or all of this new, very extensive research on plant-based diets, whole food plant-based diets, and you'll see that it is absolutely the healthiest way to eat. And I say that I'm a plant-based vegan because I don't just say I'm a vegan and I don't just say I'm plant-based, right? Because to me, veganism is the moral aspect of eating this way. But you could be a potato chip vegan, just like you could be a potato chip carnivore, right? You just eat a bunch of junk food. And I try not to. I try to eat a lot of whole food plants. So I am plant-based. I'm a whole food plant-based vegan. And I'm proud. Vegan and proud. I obviously encourage you to watch different documentaries. You can email me. Follow some sanctuaries. Watch some videos of cute little animals frolicking in the pastures, like being cuddled, having their bellies rubbed, like hugging their human companions, and just have an open heart, you know? Have an open mind. We can all change. We can all change for the better. And like I said, if I can do it, who used to eat at Chick-fil-A, like, I don't know how many times a week, then I feel like anybody can. And since we're on this chat about the mind and the spirit, I just wanted to read you something that a meditation studio in town sent me. This was their newsletter, and it was talking about meditation, which I am a big advocate for. And I understand that a lot of people find it intimidating or haven't done it, or will say, I just can't shut my mind off. And geez, I understand. My mind works a million miles a minute. And this is why we need it even more, because we got to shut it off, y'all. We got to shut it off. It is not good. And we're overstimulated all the time in this society that we live in. And we need to cease that chatter. Seize it. Make it stop. Make it stop. So the newsletter is talking about the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, because I talk about this a lot with clients, that, you know, our subconscious mind is controlling everything. And this is where we need to change and restructure those thoughts. So our conscious mind, this is the thoughts that we are aware of, that is 5% of the whole picture. The subconscious, this is the programming running below our awareness. It makes up 95% of our mind. So literally we're just running, like, everything, all of our, everything we're thinking comes from basically our subconscious. It kind of freaks me out. So this is why positive affirmations and things like that can be so beneficial and can really change your thought process, because it's restructuring the thoughts of your subconscious, which is what is controlling 95% of your mind. So when you say things that are bad, mean to yourself, right? When you say, oh gosh, I'm so stupid, or I shouldn't have done that. That was so dumb. I am so dumb. Or I'm a terrible mom. I'm a terrible artist. I'm a terrible accountant, whatever. Whatever negative things you're saying to yourself, your subconscious is listening, y'all. Your subconscious is listening all the time. This is why a lot of times with positive affirmations, they say you can listen to it in your sleep, because your subconscious is listening. You can listen to it while you're doing other stuff and you don't think you're listening, but your subconscious is. So that is really crazy, right? But I think it's also maybe empowering. Hopefully it's empowering. It might be a little scary. But I do think that meditation can be a really helpful tool in healing the body as well, because the studies that have been done on that is it just a few minutes, even 5 minutes, even less, the benefits on your physical body is just absolutely amazing. This newsletter also says that we have 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day, which only 5% of those we're even aware of. And about 80% of the thoughts in our subconscious mind are negative. So when we close our eyes, we actually become aware of those negative thoughts, and it often feels like there is something wrong with us, right? So when we're meditating and you're sitting there, and right when you close your eyes, you start thinking all the things that you should have done today, or you're thinking, oh, I'm terrible at meditating. And this can be like really, really scary, right? But meditation is a practice, just like yoga is a practice. You're never going to be like perfect. I mean, but you're going to get better every time. And it's retraining your brain, retraining your body. And I really, really cannot encourage meditation more. So this is my challenge for all of us who are listening, and for me, for this week or the next few weeks coming up, is to try to meditate. Maybe every day, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, just like slowly work our way up. Or maybe you don't even start meditating. You just start sitting for just a few minutes. You can have your eyes open, right? But there are some apps that are helpful in meditating as well. The app that I have is called Insight, and they have guided meditations. I find that guided meditations are the most helpful when you're learning. And that takes out kind of the intimidation, I think, or just the idea of like, what the heck am I doing if you've never done it before. So check those out and let me know how it goes. You know, send me a message. I would love to know how your meditation practice is going. As always, I appreciate each and every one of y'all so much. Lately, I've been getting a ton of messages on Instagram from all y'all, and I love chatting. It's just a really great way to connect, and I'm so thankful for this community and all of you. You're such special, beautiful souls, and keep it up. Y'all are doing great things. We're all doing great things, right? You're a great person. You're an amazing person, and you're doing great. You're doing great, right? You need to pat yourself on the back more. So, as always, thank you. Please subscribe to my podcast if you would like to, and leave a review if you are enjoying the podcast. Also, you can subscribe to my newsletter on my website, therefinedhippie.com. I have started this thing where I am sending out secret recipes every month. If you sign up for my newsletter via my website, you will get an email every month from me with a new secret recipe that is not going to be added to my website. It will be only for newsletter subscribers. So check that out. And I'm excited. I have 3 interviews happening this week. It's jam-packed. So the next couple weeks, we will have different guests on, which I will tell y'all more via Instagram about what's happening there. So thanks again, friends, for coming along with me on this journey, and I appreciate you so much. Until next time, peace and plants.